This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this final message in a four-part series, Pastor Scott is delving into the challenging topics of sin and Satan. In today's message, Pastor Scott continues to elaborate about the nature and character of Satan and how he affects and interferes in the lives of both believers and unbelievers. This message was delivered on October 15th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And, save the lost. And just thank you for everything again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ooh, thank you, James. Awesome job. Go ahead, ushers. Isn't it beautiful, the rain? Or is it only me? I don't know, it just makes everything cooler and greener, and I think it washes our cars for us. Yeah. Especially when you went fishing and you never got a chance to wash your car and there's all this salt. I mean, I probably could have seasoned a steak with the salt on my car. I know it doesn't sound good, but that's how much salt was on our car. We went fishing a few weeks ago, and just to share an example of how great God is, we got there and the wind was just like whipping. I mean, like, could probably blow me away, and it was really strong. We set up the camp, the tent poles were bending, and we prayed that, you know, Lord, you can stop the wind if you chose to, but so we're asking. And a few hours later, I was fishing, and then next thing you know, I feel the wind shift, and it's blowing in a different direction. And then next thing you know, the wind completely dies down, and it stops. And then, of course, the bugs come, and then you complain again, but that's another story. And then the whole rest of the trip, the wind was just calm. It was beautiful. We prayed that the Lord would make the fish hungry, and the fish was hungry. In Al's case, anyway, the fish was very hungry. Al and Johnny, the fish was very hungry for them. And the whole time I was there, I was just in awe of, like, wow, God, you are just so wonderful. You are so amazing. You are so incredibly good, even when we don't deserve it. And I was like, wow. And I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes I find myself like, wow, when, you know, that's God. So he always amazes me. So he always wows me, but I'm always like amazed. Are you like that? And I'm just like, just so thankful that we serve such a wonderful God. Amen. Well, today, part four, finally, about sin and Satan. This was such a kind of trying 4 weeks. We had so many things happen. In this last couple of weeks, we had the shootings in Las Vegas. We had the hurricanes, and we had the fires in California. I mean, you know, the enemy, his mission statement is to kill, steal, and destroy. And certainly, in all these things that happened, God can turn these tragedies into triumphs. And sometimes In our life, we may be struggling and battling and fighting. And someone once gave me this wise words of advice, is sometimes we have to go through a breakdown so that we can get to the breakthrough. And it's like, wow, because that's what happened to me. I had to be completely broken, completely humbled. And of course, the devil, he meant that to destroy me, because he wanted to crush my spirits and just destroy and totally annihilate me. But God turned it around, because in my pain, I turned to him. Yeah? And I know it was because he loves me, and I know it was because the prayers of my wife. And she, my wife, was in a battle. She was in a battle for my soul. She interceded for me for years and years and years. She prayed for me. She cried. She fought. She did not give up. There were so many times when I believe that she could have just walked away and said, I had enough of this guy who chooses to spend his money on beer and cigarettes. She could have said, you know what? On Sunday morning when we get up, he's already up watching his sports with his beer and his cigarette. And they invite me to church, and I said, no. And I always, you know how when you have somebody you invite to church, and they say, no, you go. And they say, pray for me. Watch out. Because when you pray for them, they're going to get their breakdown before they get their breakthrough. And so for years that went on, and she's a warrior. She is a warrior. And she fought, she fought, she fought, she fought. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And she knew that she was at war. And it was a battle for my soul, because she could see the direction I was heading. And I'm sure you have friends and family that you are at war. You're like, come on, I'm fighting for you. Stand up and help me fight, right? But they're walking in the wrong direction. And we keep at battle. We keep fighting. We keep praying. We keep encouraging. And I tell you what, that will happen. And we got to keep going. We got to keep battling for the souls of our loved ones, our family, our friends. I mean, even those we don't like. Because we don't want to, no matter how bad they are to us, we don't want to see them in hell. It's not a place where we want anyone to go. And we are in this battle for souls. It's a battle for people to either spend eternity with God or eternity separated from God. And as serious as it is, as followers of Christ, we need to take that very seriously. Psalms 144:1, like I read last week, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Now, we, each Sunday we come, we give you something. Something that hopefully you can take and you put in your tool pouch. So that when you're in battle, I got this. I got this. And when you read your Bible every day, you get another tool to put in your pouch so that you will be equipped for battle. Because, hell, what if you went to war without weapons? Yeah? I mean, you went to battle. Well, put it this way. What if you went to battle like we're all in a war right now. We're all in a battle. And we're all on the front lines. We're all fighting. And the person next to you doesn't know how to pray. And so you're in this battle with somebody who's not equipped. Come on, help me out, man. Right? I mean, you ever worked with somebody who wasn't equipped to do the job? And you got to carry their weight. It's like, and when you're on the front lines, it's too late to train. So the training happens now. The equipping happens now. Day to day, every single day. We are getting equipped so that when we go to battle together, we are equipped. We know we can put on the armor of God. Right? We put on the armor of God. But the guy next to us doesn't know that it comes out of Ephesians 6:10. And so they don't know how to put on the armor of God. Well, it's too late to try and explain to him while you're in the middle of the battle. So we learn those things now. It's like going fishing without learning how to tie knots. Well, when the fish is biting, it's kind of hard to teach somebody to tie a knot. And when they tie the wrong knot, and the line comes up without the fish, and the end of the knot is curly. You know they tied the wrong knot. And that's a bad feeling, especially when you have a fish on and you're like, oh yeah, I got him. And it comes off and the line's curly at the end. That means the hook slipped off the end of the line, and that's why the line is curly. Yeah? So we're going to do our last part about sin and Satan, and continuing in with number 5. Satan tempts people to sin. Satan tempts people to sin. And sometimes he might use people. How many of you ever entice somebody, hey, come on, let's go have a drink. Let's go drink. Oh, I cannot. I gotta meet my wife. Never mind the wife. Come on, we go. Wives hated me. Wives, I was their worst nightmare. Come on, we go drink. Never mind her. The devil used me to tempt people to do bad things. And I try to repent. But Satan tempts people to sin. Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to a holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Remember I was talking about this last week, and how he can keep you prosperous to keep you away. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God, and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. The devil tempted Jesus into taking a shortcut around the cross. But Jesus knew there is no shortcuts when it comes to doing God's work. And again, in Luke 22:3-6, this is what happened to Judas. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. I mean, if you look at that, just that part there, we know that Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if you would open up the door. See, Jesus asked us if he could come into us. Satan just comes. There's no love there. Jesus loves us enough to ask us to invite him in. Satan entered into Judas. He did not ask permission. He just entered. That's how he is. He is rude. He does not care. There's no love. He will just enter. One of the 12, and when he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them, they were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so that they could arrest him when the crowds weren't around. So the enemy, the devil, tempted him. He filled the heart of Jesus with Judas with greed, and that wicked passion led him to commit this crime. Anybody who serves Christ and who is a lover of money, you'll be constantly betraying the interests of Christ. Because we cannot serve two masters. You ever had two bosses? One boss tell you do this. The other boss tell you do this, but don't tell this boss that I told you to do this. You ever had that kind of stuff happen? Then you're kind of stuck. And then when you do this, the other boss tell, why are you doing this? But you cannot tell them that this boss told you to do this. And then you're all confused because you're trying to serve two masters. You cannot. And it's going to just turn bad. Yeah, so while your heart may be possessed with the love of money and self, the love of God cannot be there. You cannot dwell in that same place. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. The Corinthian church, they were the old school, like Las Vegas, corrupt. And it must have been very hard for a church in that city. But Paul was writing here that they had a pure devotion to Christ, and it was being threatened by false teachings of the devil. And Paul did not want the believers to lose their focus and their love for Christ. Now, keeping Christ first in our life can be a very, very difficult thing. Why? Because we have work schedules. We have families to feed. We got iPhones, and we can receive emails and text messages every moment of every day. Remember before, when there was no cell phones, you had to wait to go home, press the button, beep, you have 10 unheard messages, right? And you couldn't get that driving around because we never had all this technology. Now, on top of your voicemail, there's messages. There's Instagram, text messages, and email that, I mean, when you're away, those things still come. When I go fishing, my phone still rings, and I may be fishing, but I still answer my phone. But there's so much things trying to get our attention. And if we let these things get our attention, then we lose focus on God. It is so difficult. So we need to make sure that when the temptation of sin comes, we can recognize that it is from the devil and pray and be strong and be equipped. Number 6, Satan takes the word which was sown in us and chokes our faith. In Mark 4:15-19, is Jesus speaking. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or pure persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, Jesus told the parable of the four soils in Mark 4:1-9. The seed, that's the word, the Bible, the word of God, is sown. Some fall on the rocky path, and the birds quickly eat it up. He explains in verse 15, Satan immediately comes and takes the word away. Some versions say when there is a lack of understanding, the enemy comes and takes it away. So we read the word, we go, what does that mean? And we don't get an understanding of it, the enemy comes, takes it away. Some of them fall and start growing, and then when they look at the worries of the world, oh, I got all these bills to pay, I got a tough schedule this week, and they focus on the worries, the enemy comes and chokes the word, so they forget, and the word slowly fades out of their life. It's this describe if any of this describes where you're at now, like you feel the world closing in on you. You feel the enemy trying to separate you from the fellowship, trying to choke you off so that he can get you alone, so that he may attack you. If you feel that, hopefully this will open your eyes and you'll understand that the enemy is trying to choke the faith from you. He's trying to make everything around you, your problems, your bills, your work, your schedule, seem so big that God cannot handle it. Don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that your problems are bigger than God, because they're not. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter, the devil, might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Paul was expressing his concern for the faith of the Thessalonians. And Paul knew that Satan's design is to choke off their faith of the people who have heard the word of God. Satan, he tries to make us doubt. He tries to make us waver in our faith. Make us like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about church. I don't know about praying. God doesn't hear. He makes us waver. He makes us doubt. Don't fall for those temptations. Number 7, Satan causes some sickness and disease. Not all, some. Luke 13:16. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she have not been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? I mean, they were complaining that Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath. And you read this throughout the New Testament. And you think about it. Man, if you was bound for 18 years, don't you want to be unbound? I don't care if it's the Sabbath. You know, I'm sure if the Pharisees were bound and they were suffering and it was a Sabbath and they wanted to be healed, they would not care. They would ask Jesus to heal them on the Sabbath. But that was the big deal. And this woman had been suffering for 18 years. 18 years, that's a long time. 18 years. And Jesus healed this woman. It says that she was oppressed, or she was held captive by Satan. And Jesus took care of that. He healed her. Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Now, in this scripture, Peter describes Jesus as the one who went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil. In other words, the devil often oppresses people with illness. Not always, but often. And so we cannot make the mistake of saying that every sickness is the work of the devil. And to be sure, even when there's a thorn in our flesh, sometimes it is God's design for our sanctification. You know, sometimes God does that so that we depend on him instead of us. And sometimes, you ever do that? Depend on you before we depend on God. You know, something even simple like cooking a meal. I got this. Then it burns. And it's like, oh, I should have prayed first. Shoot. You know, those are the things. You know, those simple things. The simple things like that. Like changing the brakes on a car. I got this. With one eye closed and one arm. And then it goes wrong. Why? Because I depended on me. I got this. Instead of saying, Lord, I need your help. Please help me. I need you. And it becomes more and more of a habit of mine that I need to make sure that even the simplest things that I do, I go to God first and I ask him for his help. Sometimes there are instances in which disease is solely attributed to God without design or without reference to Satan. You know, it was not this, in John 9:3, it was not this man's sins or his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed. Sometimes people suffer so that God's power can be shown. Number 8, Satan is a murderer. Not just necessarily physical murder, but spiritual. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. The devil is the enemy of life and truth. And by a lie, he brought spiritual and physical death into mankind. He distorts the truth, and he continues to seek to lead people astray, lead people away from God. God, the one who is the source of truth and life. John says, do not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and a murderer of his brother. Jesus told the blameless church at Smyrna, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Satan is a bloodthirsty spirit, a bloodthirsty whatever you may want to call him. Christ came that we might have life and abundantly. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy wherever he can to make eternity miserable for a lot of people. Number 9, Satan accuses Christians before God. Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Could you imagine? He goes before God and he accuses us of things. In the case of Job 1:11, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan goes before God and he says, their faith isn't real. Satan accuses us before God, just as he did Job. So all these things, he is a murderer, he is a liar, he is a thief. But in all of this, there is hope. And the last point is, we have an advocate. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's a glorious thing. You and I, the followers of Jesus, we have an advocate, someone who fights for us, who always lives to make intercession for us. Finally, with this, James 4:7. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As Jesus did in the wilderness, he resisted the devil, and the devil will flee. Not might, he will. Amen. Aren't you glad we have an advocate, a rescuer, and it is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, if that doesn't bring joy to your heart and tears to your eyes, I don't know what will. God is just so incredibly good. He is faithful. He is just. He is graceful, merciful. He is all-powerful, the beginning and the end. And there is no better place to, well, maybe heaven, but right here and right now, there's no better place to be. Man, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the advocate, the rescuer, our Savior, our Redeemer, who came, who died, who shed his blood. Even while we were sinners, he cared for us. Thank you so much for that, for the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we fight for souls, that we will be fully equipped, put on the armor of God, and fight side by side to save our family, our friends, our loved ones, even our enemies. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.